Welcome to the Copy Dates podcast. I'm your host, Megan Taylor, copywriter, bookworm, and founder of the Copy Template Shop. I believe that anyone can write strong copy, and I'm here to teach you how to write words that sell your online offers while prioritizing real connection, serving your audience, and simply being who you are. I know you have a message that deserves to be heard and unique skills that need to be shared. And in each episode, I'll give you an actionable tip so that you can write better copy, reach more people, and sell your offers in an easy and authentic way. So grab a hot drink and get ready to cozy up with your weekly dose of magnetic messaging and captivating copy. Hey, friend, and welcome back to the Copy Dates podcast, where we are actually diving right in to week six of this 8-week series that I wanted to do on the podcast to really equip you with all of the tips and tools and tricks that I think any online business owner needs when it comes to copywriting. Kind of peeling behind the scenes a little bit at these things that copywriters know and that we maybe talk about amongst ourselves, but that don't necessarily get taught to general business owners who aren't copywriters yet, that I think are incredibly important, whether you are writing from scratch or you are using a copy template from the Copy Template Shop. These are just tips and tools and tricks that are going to make all of that so much easier for you. And today I want to talk about something that I hope is going to be really actionable for you, something that comes up for all of us and can be really, really, really frustrating as a part of our copywriting process. And that is writer's block. I feel like there's this conversation happening out there that writer's block is a myth, or that, like, you know, anybody can fight through it and it's just another example of procrastination. But I don't think that's true. Writer's block and procrastination definitely are not the same thing. Writer's block is something very different. If you've ever really and truly experienced real writer's block, where you're staring and staring and staring at that blank Google Doc, and you're just like, I have no idea what to write next. It's definitely not procrastination, because it's often coming up for us at a time where we don't want to procrastinate. We just want to get the thing done, right? We've usually carved out time in our busy schedules to get some copywriting done, and it's just not happening. It's not working for us. And so I want you to know that doesn't mean that you've procrastinated too long. It's not anything wrong that you're doing. It's not a myth. It's a very, very real thing. It happens to all of us. And it's also completely and totally normal. The big thing that I want you to know is that there's no one big magical cure for writer's block. I'm going to share some tips in today's episode for how I think you can really get through it, kind of my suggestion for a foolproof way to get through writer's block. But the reality is that writer's block can be caused by a million different things. And because the cause of writer's block can be so different and so varied, it also means that the cure for writer's block can be equally varied. But there is, I feel, a common thread behind most of the causes, and therefore there is a common thread and a solution. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The cause for writer's block, you know, it genuinely could be so many different things. Maybe you have a lot of things going on in your life, in your personal life, in your business, and that's kind of keeping you distracted. And so it's harder for you to really get into the right mindset and frame of mind to sit down and write your copy. Maybe you are sitting down to write your copy at a time where you're really kind of stressing out over whether or not this offer is going to sell, right? This is particularly true if you're a brand new business owner writing your website copy for the first time, or maybe you are working on your sales page or your sales emails for a brand new offer. And even though you validated it, maybe you haven't sold it yet. And so you're bringing a lot of that stress and anxiety and uncertainty to your copywriting practice. It could also just be that you didn't sleep well the night before, right? It's so important to take care of our bodies and take care of our minds if we're going to be able to sit down and do really productive work, especially when it comes to copywriting. These are all very different situations, right? Very different factors that can each show up. They can be showing up at the same time, and they can each contribute to writer's block. I have personally experienced all of these. Yes, even as professional copywriters, get writer's block sometimes. It happens. I mean, it's why I have been really careful to pinpoint my heavy writing days. Even though I'm a copywriter, you know, I also have days where I'm getting on coaching calls or strategy calls with my clients. I have days where I'm recording the podcast. I have days where I'm just literally answering emails. Those happen, right? We all have those days where we sit down with every intention in the world to do some really productive work and we just answer emails all day. It happens. All of these things happen. So it's really important for me that I kind of designate certain days every week or every month to really focus on my copywriting, and then I can set boundaries around that and make sure I get enough sleep and make sure that I'm coming in with the right mindset. But even then, things still creep in, right? And writer's block can still happen. That's life. Here's a little secret for you that probably gives away quite a bit of what we're going to talk about in terms of what causes writer's block most of the time. I primarily get writer's block when I am sitting down to prep for these exact podcast episodes. When it comes to writing copy for my clients or even writing copy for my business, it tends to creep in maybe a little bit more there. But the most frequent time that I see writer's block come in is when I'm preparing this content for you guys. And so that, I think, if you can think about it, that's a pretty big clue as to what the biggest culprit is for writer's block. It's pressure, right? The podcasting is still fairly new to me. We're only a few months into the Copy Dates podcast at this point, and so it's still uncertain. I constantly am thinking about all of the people who are listening and what do they need to hear and how am I going to explain this in a way that is really clear to the average listener. And it puts pressure on me. I'm putting pressure on myself. And so it's difficult. And that's where the writer's block creeps in. It creeps into those little nooks and crannies between all of that pressure. A lot of it has to do with mindset. Right? There's realistically not a huge difference between me prepping for these podcast episodes and scripting out my podcast versus doing any other kind of writing. But the mindset that I'm taking to that experience is completely different. And so a lot of the time, writer's block comes back to mindset and pressure. So it's really important if you are somebody who faces writer's block frequently, or maybe you're listening to this episode right now because you have major writer's block and you're like, I need something that's going to help me. So if you're facing this right now, I want you to think about how you can shake that pressure off. How can you take that pressure off yourself? How can you set yourself up for success? There's a couple of things that you can do. There's a big like winner, chicken dinner for me. But as I already talked about, you know, we can set up healthier routines for ourselves. Maybe you can come up with some sort of writing ritual or writing habit. Sometimes if I'm really struggling to get stuck with a copywriting project, my little habit, my little kickstart routine is to make myself a cup of tea, to sit down at my desk, to light a candle, to put on a Hans Zimmer, very specific playlist, And my brain almost automatically knows, like, okay, this is the in sport, they would call this the pre-shot routine. This is my pre-writing routine. My brain is seeing that this is normally what happens, and it's getting ready to do that writing. Another thing that can help is setting expectations. So for me, my writing comes so much easier when I feel like I have clearly communicated with my client what the expectations are for those deliverables or for that day, but also setting expectations with myself, realistic expectations. What can I expect to get done today? You know, what can I expect this copywriting process to look like? It can also sometimes look like saying affirmations to myself, you know, reminding myself of my capabilities or whatever it is that I feel like is getting in my way and keeping me stuck that day. Sometimes it means journaling that out to get clarity on what is actually keeping me stuck and what is causing this writer's block to happen. And then sometimes it just means looking through my Win Vault. My Win Vault is, that's what I call it, Win Vault. I don't know why I called it Win Vault. But it is a folder on my Google Drive where I have put in all sorts of screenshots. Anytime any of you listening sends me a message saying, oh, I really love the podcast, I learned so much today, I screenshot that, it goes in the Win Vault. Anytime somebody, you know, a client comes back and says, oh, I really love the copy, or the copy that you wrote for me helped me have this amazing launch, thank you so much, I screenshot that, it goes in the vault. And so sometimes, to get out of that funk and to change my mindset, I need to look at some of those posts. So those are some ideas for you as to what you can do, particularly if you're facing writer's block on an ongoing basis. Hey, listener, I am quickly interrupting this episode to let you know that Black Friday is just around the corner and we are getting ready for our biggest sale ever at the Copy Template Shop. From Friday, November 26th until Monday, November 29th, everything in the shop is going to be 30% off. Yes, everything, including already discounted bundles. So if you've had your eye on something, now is the time to curate your wish list and mark your calendar. Oh, and if you missed your chance to join website in a week before the price went up in September, there will be a deal for you too. This is the sale of the year for copy templates, and you don't want to miss it. To sign up for updates, head to copytemplateshop.com/Black Friday. But here's the kicker. The biggest thing that I think contributes to the pressure that we put on ourselves often when we're writing copy, particularly sales copy, is that we are imagining we are writing to a big, large group of people. And to be honest with you, we are, right? Even if you're writing your website, there are hundreds, potentially thousands, tens of thousands of people who are going to read that website copy over the lifetime of your business. If you're writing a sales page, right? Ideally, there's going to be hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, checking out your sales page. And so we always kind of have that in the back of our mind when we're writing, or ideally we should, right? Because we should be thinking about our audience when we're writing our copy. But think about how much pressure that puts on you and puts on your copywriting process when you imagine that you are writing to such a big group of people. If you were preparing for a school play, and you knew that you would be presenting in front of your classmates and all of your classmates' parents and your teachers and all that kind of stuff way back in high school, that would feel like pressure enough. But imagine that multiplied if you were, you know, performing that same play or that same musical on a Broadway stage. The bigger the audience, often the bigger the pressure. Right? We just end up putting so much pressure on that situation because particularly with writing, we're like, okay, well, we have to appeal to all of these people. We have to say something that's going to interest all of them. And that puts undue pressure on your copywriting process. So what is the solution to this? My biggest solution If you think that you are facing writer's block, if you sit down and you realize that you are putting way too much pressure on yourself in this copywriting process, my biggest recommendation to you is to have a muse. Have a particular person in mind, and I want you to pretend that you are writing to them instead of, you know, writing for all of the people who are going to write your sales email or all of the people who are going to read your sales page. Can you pick just one person who is going to read this piece of copy and imagine that you were writing it for them and for them alone? So I know that this kind of, maybe you're thinking about like ideal client personas or ideal client avatars at this point, right? And that's definitely helpful. We create those avatars and we create those personas for a reason. Those personas are there to really encourage us to think about our ideal client, the typical person or the best possible person that we want to be reading our copy so that we can speak to them and we can attract them. But this idea of the ideal client is only helpful to a particular degree because at the end of the day, your ideal client is exactly that. It's a persona. It's an avatar. It's not a real person. It's fictional. It's a figment of our imagination. It's an ideal that we are striving for. So while it can be really helpful to have that as part of your copywriting process, it can still feel really abstract. And so it doesn't necessarily help us with that pressure and with that reframing, you know, of writing to one person instead of a big, large group of people. So instead, I don't want you to ignore that ideal client, but I want you to pick someone in your audience, maybe somebody who follows you on Instagram, somebody who you know is on your email list, somebody who you know always checks out your sales page, pick a person who closely resembles that ideal client avatar and speak to them. But pick a real person, right? Maybe it's the person who buys every single offer that you put out there. Maybe it's somebody who always responds to your content. Maybe they reply to your emails pretty frequently, or maybe they're always commenting on your latest Instagram post. Maybe it's a client that you really, really love working with. I want you to think of a person, a real life person who's already in your community, who's already in your audience, who you know would really love to hear this message, who would really respond well to this piece of copy. Just to give you an example, I was on a coaching call with some of my students inside of my Website in a Week program today. And she asked me a question about writing to her email list, specifically re-engaging her email list. So to give you a bit of context, she had recently, maybe over the last 6 months or so, transitioned a pretty big transition from a product-based business to a service-based business. Her whole branding had changed. Her brand name had changed. Obviously, all of her offers had changed from a physical product to online services. And she had this really amazing big email list from her product-based business who she hadn't communicated with in a while. They hadn't heard from her. She had kind of done this transition, not necessarily quietly, but she hadn't, you know, made any kind of official announcement or attempt to bring them over and bring them along this transition with her. And now that her service-based business is a little bit more, you know, off the ground and she's looking at growing it, she really wants to grow her email list and engage them further. So she wanted to email this group of people that knew her from her product-based business days and tell them about the transition and invite them to, you know, to follow her along on this service-based journey. But she was worrying about how it was going to be perceived. She wasn't sure kind of how to do that and was feeling a bit of pressure in that process, as we would, right? Because we imagine that we are writing this email to a list of, let's say it's 1,000 people, 2,000 people, and we're trying to tell all of those people, this is what's happened. And, you know, this is why I decided to do it. And all of the, some people aren't going to be receptive to that. And so it can be a high pressure situation or an uncomfortable situation. So my suggestion was to her was to think of somebody who she knows is in that audience, who has already kind of been subtly following her along on this journey. You know, maybe it's somebody who followed her old Instagram account and now follows the new one. Somebody who has always been cheering her on, regardless of the pivots she made or the changes that she made in her business. And sometimes, you guys, sometimes that's like a family member. Sometimes it's your mom. Sometimes it's your best friend. If you can't necessarily identify somebody that's like a client or somebody, you know, in your business world, that's okay. It just matters that you have somebody in your mind that you're writing to, that you have a muse, and you need to write to that person. And when you do this, the benefit of this is twofold. The first is that it fixes your writer's block, right? Because it allows you to shake the pressure off. Just think about how much easier it is to write an email to one person rather than to write an email to 1,000 people. Right? As soon as I say that, there's probably like a reaction in your brain or maybe even in your gut. You know that there is a difference and one feels a little bit more high pressure than the other. You can always refine it afterwards, right? If you want to sit down and write this email as if you were writing it to your best friend, that's cool. Do that first. It's going to allow you to get words down on paper. And then you can take a step back. You can come back to it later. You can revise it, make it sound maybe a little bit more professional, or just kind of fine tune the messaging or something. But it's going to allow you to actually just, yeah, get words down on paper, to fight through that writer's block and make a start. But the second benefit of it is that it also makes your copy better, especially if you can pick somebody in your audience who is really going to respond to that message, right? If you are sending a sales email for your new program, write it to a person who you know is the perfect fit for that program and who is really likely to check out the sales page. Because as soon as you do that, as soon as you imagine that you are writing to that one specific person, it means you are having a conversation with them about their very specific pain points, about their very specific desires, about the transformation that they're looking for. You can talk to them on almost like a one-on-one basis. And the beauty of that is that you are connecting with them on a very deep level. But the reality is you are having that one-on-one connection with multiple people on your email list, or who are reading your sales page, or who are reading your Instagram caption, whatever it may be. So let's put that into action today with a coffee break. I want you to take a look at your ideal client avatar, if you have one, or your ideal client persona, or just think about who your ideal client is if you don't necessarily have this down in writing right now. And I want you to identify a real life, tangible person, ideally somebody that you know quite well, who closely resembles that ideal client. Maybe it's somebody you've worked with before. Maybe it's just somebody that's in your network. Maybe it's somebody you would love to work with. Pick a person. And the next time that you have to write any kind of copy at all, I want you to write it as if you were writing to this specific person. Do that first. You can always go back and revise it. Even if you have to say, let's say you're writing to me, even if you have to start and be like, hi, Megan, I really like listening to your podcast. Put that little like intro, that little personal intro in there, the exact way you would if you were writing a personal message to this person. That is what's going to allow you to get really beautiful copy, really authentic copy, really connection-centered copy down on paper, and then you can worry about refining it later. I promise you, it is the quickest fix to writer's block, the most effective fix to writer's block, and it's also going to make your copy a million times stronger. Thanks so much for tuning in today. We are going to be back next week. I am going to talk about the three most prominent beliefs that are holding you back from writing strong copy. So we're going to continue talking about some mindset stuff. And yeah, and I'll provide some tips on how you can kind of shift these beliefs and bring a healthier and more productive approach to your copywriting process. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will see you again next week. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Copy Dates podcast. I hope that this episode has helped you feel more confident in your ability to write copy and that you're feeling excited about sharing your message and offers with the world. If you love what you learned, be sure to hit that follow button so you never miss a future episode. And leave us a review so we can reach more online entrepreneurs who want to develop authentic connection with their audience through powerful copy. As always, don't forget to show me where you're tuning in from. Snap a pic, share it in your Instagram stories, and tag me at megantaylor.co. I'd love to connect with you beyond your headphones. See you back here next week. And remember, I'm rooting for you always.